Sweet. What up? What up? What up? What up?
What's
Kurt and Lucas
happening?
on the show today. It is October the 11th. We've both been busy.
Yep.
I was traveling last month. I was gone for about 4 weeks. You've been out. You were in Florida for a little bit.
I was in Florida for a little. Visiting family. Did some work from down there. And other than that, man, I've just been super focused on growing the business the last couple of months.
That's right. You hired a coach and...
I hired a coach. Yeah. So I'm dropping some serious dough on a real estate coach.
Nice.
But it's worth every penny. So.
Yeah. Yeah. And I've just this week got my my residence situated. My lease is up here and I was just locking down the Austin digs, moving the whole company and life down to Austin from Seattle. It's a little bit of a cross-country move.
Yeah, man, that's gotta be a lot of moving parts.
Yeah, I mean, we're kind of disassembling the studio already, but we got our office last week. We signed that. We're good there. We work right downtown on Congress and Fifth, and then I just got my place locked up. It's a dream situation. I mean, I saw where I wanted to live 5 years ago, and I was like, now it's going to be reality.
No kidding.
Yeah, it's like this space where we're going. You know, the business I can't brag about yet because we're still really in that kind of weird phase where we're really scratching and kicking and trying to get you know more success there. It's been frustrating to be honest, but just because I know we're so talented and so successful as individuals, but our strategy has been a conversation maybe for another day. But overall, I mean, we're not doing bad. But yeah, life is going to be awesome. We got a great place.
Good.
Got a little good 2-bedroom with a spare bedroom and a studio I'll put in there.
Nice.
I'll be like 1-2 blocks, maybe 3 blocks max from like the actual, I think, original Whole Foods in their headquarters. So.
Nice.
Good food, good restaurants over there. I'll be on top of some of the clubs. So yeah, it's gonna be dope, man. It's
nice.
Gonna be a lot of fun. And the office will be cool. WeWork
nice.
Has like a lot of like I took some of your advice, I think, on that one and just went for the WeWork because it's a great place to kind of network.
Yep.
Meet other people, get that startup vibe,
yeah.
And just you know build those relationships.
Yeah.
Our office here is great. We got a lot of space, but like, dude, we can't get anybody to like. Socialize with anybody, you know what I mean? It's just like you don't get out and meet people.
That's,
if you're not
that's
meeting people,
critical,
you're not making
man.
Any money.
That's great. It doesn't matter what kind of I think in today's society we've gotten away from that, but we need people for any kind of business. You need to interact, you need to meet new people, you need new resources, new connections, new networks. And yeah, I think it's good that you got a WeWork office because that will open up a lot of those doors. Yeah, man. I mean, this transitions into perfectly kind of a subject that we want to talk about this week, which is how do you navigate through a big transition and or change in your life, right? Mm-hmm. So you're going through some big changes right now. I'm going through a fairly decent sized transition as well in the real estate market here in the Seattle area and probably nationwide. Market's starting to shift. Market's starting to transition. I got some other transitions going on in the business itself.
Mm-hmm.
Some big transitions and a couple of things that are changing up pretty quick. How do you navigate something like that in your life? How do you go through that? How do you set up? How do you prepare for it? How do you decide, okay, hey, I'm gonna make this journey? And then while you're going through the journey, because I'm assuming you're probably through the stressful part of your transition now, right? Which is kind of halfway through. It's rewarding once it's all done, but while you're at it, that's...
Yeah, when you don't have an apartment or an office,
yeah.
It's kind of stressful.
Yeah.
that's definitely there. The move will be like more physical stress, but I think emotionally, yeah. Yeah, we're pretty lined up. Business-wise, we're still kind of in this weird place, right? We're developing our product more, and we're building a brand new sales team. So there's a lot of like pieces there. It's just like, man, it almost feels like nonstop,
yep.
To some degree.
Yeah.
But yeah, I transitioned for sure. I mean, the market's changing. Everybody knows it. Everybody can kind of feel it.
Mm-hmm.
Shifting a bit. Probably still, would you say, still more of a seller's than a buyer's right now in Seattle?
Still more of a seller's market. But if you look at the charts, man, I sent a couple of my sellers these charts. It's... I mean, once you put a visual to it, it kind of really highlights how fast it's shifting. We went from the beginning of the year having, in the Seattle market, we had 2 to 4 weeks of inventory. That's what we've had for the last couple of years. Very little houses for sale.
Mm-hmm.
And you see this chart, and you see a huge uptick in inventory where we went from 2 to 4 weeks to over 3 months of inventory now. And if you look at the sales volume, it shows this chart just dropping like a rock. It's literally like this all the way down, like a roller coaster.
Like transactions across the board?
All the way down.
Mm.
So it's shifting fast. And I'm not worried about it. A lot of people are. I'm not.
Sure.
But in a changing market, you got to readjust, readapt, reinvent yourself, because what worked in one market will not work on the other market.
Yeah.
And it goes back to life itself, right? Like, nothing is set in stone. Everything is constantly shifting, changing.
Mm-hmm.
Everything other than, you know, a couple key life principles, right? Certain things in life, certain principles in life don't necessarily change, but markets and that kind of stuff, it's always ebb and flowing and shifting. So you just got to adapt and overcome.
What are some of those principles that you find that are kind of consistent for you?
Yeah, so I'm diving back in. I thought about principles, and I haven't necessarily written down clearly what my principles are, but I'm diving back in. I read Principles by Ray Dalio, which is a really good book, and now I'm diving into The 7 Habits of Highly Effective People by Stephen Covey, I think it is. And he brings that up, where there's, you know, the world's constantly changing, but there are certain principles in this world that don't really change. They stand the test of time. And I mean, for me, I don't have it written down, I don't have it clear, but I think it's like a principle from, like, I take pride in being a hardworking person, right? I align myself with that. Like, that's part of my personality. Like, I like being associated with that. Right? Mm-hmm. Like, if you die today, what would people say in your funeral?
Mm-hmm.
I want them to say, damn, that motherfucker got after it. He worked hard. He was consistent. He was logical. He was disciplined, right? Those things are things that I'm always striving for and I want to be recognized for. Because I think the more I've acquired these things, the better my life became. And yeah. And everybody's principles could be different, right?
Mm.
So...
yeah, that's good. I mean, so I think, like, I don't know. I've been fortunate, I think, in my career to not really feel the effects of a changing economy. I think it's happened, but, you know, when I was graduating college, this was 2007, they say that we were kind of hitting the bottom of the recession, and we were down there for a couple of years. I had a great job offer from a great company, Microsoft. And I just took that job, and it was a salaried job. And we had literally these massive contracts that I was managing with my sales team, with MSN. And so, like, they're just dropping, you know, $1 million a day on an ad on Facebook or on MSN.com. Like, okay, the economy's slow, but we're dumping money and, you know, selling all these ads and running these ads. So I never felt it.
Yeah. I've never felt it either. And that's kind of, for the last couple of years, I wouldn't say scared. I've never been scared, but I've always been very aware that, like, shit, we're in a good economy. I was too young to recognize what a bad economy was.
Mm-hmm.
So I was, I would say, always a little bit more keeping my head on a swivel, right? I wasn't blind to the fact that the market could shift. But I think what it really comes down to, I don't know, I still haven't experienced a bad economy, so I... you know, maybe after we go through a bad economy, maybe I could speak on it more. I think a lot of it is you create your own damn economy, dude. I truly believe that.
Yeah.
And a lot of your mindset, because I see people in my office and other agents where it's the 6 inches in between their head that's like, it becomes a self-fulfilling prophecy. They're like, oh, the market is shifting, nothing is selling. What? That's not true. Like, I'm still selling houses, right? It's just a little bit different. You got to tweak it a little bit. It's maybe you got to push a little bit harder, right? Maybe you got, But whatever outcome you want, you just got to change your approach. The outcome is always reachable. It's just the way you get there might change.
Yeah, the train keeps going down the tracks.
Yeah.
Just different things are happening. I mean, if it's a buyer's market, now buyers jump off the fence and can start buying up properties and
that's it.
And building their portfolios.
That's it.
So it's like, yeah, totally makes sense to me. I mean, you know, again, we're social creatures and we're emotional. Yeah. So it's like you see a lot of other people giving you this negative feedback that things are going poorly and things are fearful. And then you have to sort of realize that that's the natural human tendency as social beings to like feed off that energy and
I've got
that mob.
I've gotten really, really good at not putting up with those kind of people. Yeah. Like I was at the broker. So I got a WeWork office so we don't have, so me and my team don't have to go to the brokerage office so that we don't have to listen to losers. But I happened to be at the brokerage office that it was printing something out and getting a little bit of work done. And I just heard this agent talking to one of the partners. And dude, I literally like, I had to leave because I was either going to go in there and smack this dude or something bad was going to, I just had to get out of there. Just this victim mindset, you know, like everything, like the economy's is just tough. It's brutal. You know, it's so hard out there. And the whole time I'm sitting like, dude, what are you doing inside of this office? Like this guy was explaining, just sidetrack here, but basically this guy has a family, right? And part of me like felt bad for him, but part of me just got anger by it as well. Cause like, it just sounds like he has a family. You could see by the way the guy walks that like life kind of beat him up. And he's talking about how there's, you know, his grandma gives him $10,000 every year to kind of help out with the bills. And he has a wife and two kids and they're barely making it by. He had to get this part-time job just to make the bill so they don't go into the red too much. Jeez. And just like, it was sad. It really was. But every solution that the partner spoke to him, he had an excuse why it wouldn't work. Right. And I'm just sitting there thinking like, dude, you're like, and he's a real estate agent there as well. Not very active.
Yeah.
But I'm just thinking like, you got a fucking family to support, dude. Like I'll be going out like a madman just trying to find a solution to the problem. Like he accepted his circumstances. He was just like that. That killed me, man. I'm just sitting there listening to this. I'm like, I got to get out of here. I can't be around. I refuse to be around people like that. Because if you sit around people like that for too long, guess what? You're going to start buying into their BS. You're going to start thinking like they do. And that's dangerous.
Right. Right. No, I feel you, man. It's, it's a crazy mindset. You can't let well, like a good example is like we hired 7 salespeople about a month ago and we have 2 left.
No kidding.
Yeah, we lost 5 of them. And what I found was like a couple of them had jobs that they kept. They didn't go all in. They were and I don't even think it was the job that pulled them away from being successful. I think it was their belief that they couldn't succeed and they had to hang on to their old job because they didn't burn the boats.
Yeah.
And so much of this, like you said, is 6 inches in between your head that, you know, if you're not feeding that all the stuff that's good, there's a lot of people and a lot of things out there that are just going to pump it full of pollution and garbage.
Yep.
And like you said, being in that office, hearing that conversation, like just like the frame that guy's coming from, just being a victim probably for many years, if not decades of his life. Just like, this happens to me. Always my fault.
I just can't stand that, man.
It's tough.
And I've, at one point, I was more like that in my life than I am today. I was more of a victim in the past. It's not a good place to be. It doesn't get you anywhere. Every successful person I've ever seen, they take ownership. They take ownership of not only, they take almost too much ownership. They take ownership for other people. That's basically what a good leader is. A good leader takes ownership, man. Oh, you failed? I'm sorry. I didn't coach you well enough. Like, you know, that determines, I mean, compounds years after years, months after months of thinking the same way. You're eventually end up in a different trajectory in life.
So transitions.
Yeah.
What else is good to keep in mind when you're transitioning or dealing with a transition?
Man, I think it's very important for you to know, as you're going through a transition, it's important for you to not get stuck on the day-to-day and the minutia. I think it's very important to keep the big thing the big thing, right? And know exactly where you're going. Because as you're going through the transition, every transition is difficult. Just about every change in general is difficult. But change becomes easier once you have a very, very clear path of where you want to go. For mm-hmm. example, you're moving your whole business to Texas. Can you imagine the amount of crap you got to move over, the amount of stuff you got to correlate, timelines, clients, employees, this, that. But your end vision is very clear. This is where I want to live. This is where I want to run my business. This is what I want my business to be.
Mm-hmm.
So that end goal, that end vision gives you the energy, gives you the clarity, gives you the step-by-step into figuring out how to get to your end goal.
Mm-hmm.
There's this guy that says, fuck how, all right? He's this Asian dude, and he spells P-H-U-K-H-A-U, fuck how. Because he says the majority of people are so worried about the how. Fuck the how. Just know where you want to go and what you want.
Yeah.
And I think anytime you're going through a transition, don't focus on the how so much, because when people focus on the how, they never do.
Yeah.
Because you're so fucked. How am I going to move there? But there's this, there's that. I'm going to figure it out. Instead, what you do, what you did, and what successful people do is you just fucking announced it. I'm moving to fucking Texas. What? Yeah, I'm moving to Texas. Then you figure the rest out later.
Yeah.
You know, you plug in the gap and like you're already committed now, so you're going to figure it out.
Yeah. Yeah. This month would have, the old me would have said, let's do this like in another 6 months when the finances are a little smoother and life makes more sense, business is stabler. Yeah. But
here's the thing. That rarely happens. It's like a vacation that you always wanted to go on.
Yeah.
When does the perfect time show up for you to take the vacation? Never. Shit is always going on.
Yep.
You're always going to have obstacles, not problems, right? But obstacles in your life, things that you got to do, things that you got to fix, responsibilities. And guess what? It's probably just going to increase, at least it has for me. They only increase throughout life. So if you want to make something happen, you just got to fucking claim it and just do. It's not that hard, but it is, right? You look at, for example, one of the guys, even though he lost this weekend, I'm a huge fan of Conor McGregor, man. If you watch some of his old videos, this guy, I mean, you could find videos of him back when he first started training. This guy just sitting there with no doubt whatsoever in his back when he was nothing. A video of him with no doubt, not an inch of his body had any doubt at that point, of him just staring into the camera and saying, without a doubt, I will be a champion of the UFC, without a doubt.
Mm-hmm.
Like something,
yeah, I've
seen
like
that one. Something like that is powerful, man. People who are bold enough, if you're bold enough to say it and you envision it clearly in your mind and you're bold enough to say it, then you go and do the work to follow up with it. Doesn't matter what it is you're trying to accomplish, you're going to accomplish it. And that's critical in transitions, because transitions is never easy, man. It's never easy.
Yeah. And practical advice, like, ignore the part of you that says don't make the change, or ignore the part of you that says stay the same. Like, because that always comes in the picture. And I know for a lot of people, like, the idea that you can just keep things consistent, keep things steady, is more comfortable, it's safer, it's going to be a better way to go, is usually just a lie, because there's so much changing anyway in the world. Like, if I stay here, the market still changes. If I stay here, business still changes. If I stay here, the economy, my rent, everything still changes in this market. It's just, I'm trying to pretend like nothing is changing, and it all is.
Yeah.
So
exactly.
It's like, change is there. Like, it's just,
we might not realize
create this illusion that it's not happening that at the rate it is.
One thing I do, man, whenever I'm thinking about making a big choice or going through a transition, I call my mom. And usually I already have an idea of what I'm going to do. And usually the response I always get from my mom, and it's exactly the response I'm looking to get, because if she gives me this response, I know I'm going the right direction. Don't rock the boat. You always invent shit. Don't rock the boat. Just keep what you, right? And every time she has given me that advice in life, and I went out and I did the opposite. I rocked the boat. I reinvented. I've gotten good results from it. You don't get, like, you got to move. You got to do shit. You got to reinvent yourself. You got to change. You got to adapt. Human beings, as long as we look back, the best skill you can have as a human being in this world is your ability to adapt, mm-hmm. right? To be ahead of the ball, constantly changing, constantly evolving. That's evolution in itself, right? Yeah. So nothing stays the same. That's an illusion. That we give ourselves this illusion that, like, I used to have this, and now I've gotten away from it, but I used to have this illusion that, like, man, let me just grind it out my 20s, I'm gonna make some money, and then I'm just gonna chill and fuck off for the rest of my life. I'm slowly realizing that I'm gonna get enough money to fuck off for the rest of my life, but I'm not gonna want to. I'm gonna get bored within 6, because this is just who I, like, I am my happiest when I'm doing, when I'm creating, when I'm running, right? So it's like, don't wish for that. And I did for, and I still sometimes do, but that isn't the juice in life. You know, the juice in life is finding something that you really enjoy and finding ways to become better and better at it. Joe Rogan has a saying. He's like, I don't know how people get bored, man. So much time, you know, the limited time you have in your life. If I had several lives to live over, I'd learn different languages, right? I learn different skills. I become world-class at this or really good at that, right? So I don't know how people get bored. People get bored because they're not doing enough. Mm-hmm. You know, they're sitting around watching what everybody else is doing and too concerned with what everybody else thinks about them instead of really going out and living the life that they want to live.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's awesome, man. I'm excited for you to make the move, go through that transition. I feel like the universe almost awards people who do crazy shit like that. You know what I mean? It's like you're taking action, and action is usually always rewarded.
Well, I mean, the last time I made a move, I was very comfortable and I was making really good money, and I got inspiration to start my own company. So that was when I moved from Seattle to New York, and I met a lot of cool people, and I met entrepreneurs who inspired me, and I moved from there. And now, being in Seattle, I feel stagnant. You know, 3 years in, it's like, okay, it's time to make that next move. And the world's a big place. Like, I want to experience different parts of it. And Austin has always been a city where I'm like, this place is rad. There's just a lot going on. There's a good, energetic, entrepreneurial vibe down there, and there's, you know, great food, great weather most of the year. It's just got a lot of great variables that I'm looking for. So I'm super stoked to be down there. And in less than a month, man, less than 3 weeks, like 2.5 weeks.
Do you think, let me ask you this. Do you think you're going to have, when I went to Florida, I'm honest with myself, man. You know, I know the things that I'm good at. I know my weaknesses, you know, like I don't think at this point in my life, I could go live in a city that's as nice as Miami.
Yeah.
I would get in trouble.
Yeah.
It's too nice, too much shit going on. The weather's too perfect. I would be less productive living in a city like that than I would in Seattle. Seattle, it's cold, it's rainy, it's gloomy. I just get after it throughout the whole fucking winter. Then summer comes around and I take my foot off the gas a little bit. But I'm able to stay a lot more focused here because there's less going on. The weather's not as nice. Do you feel like that's going to be tough for you in Austin, getting nicer weather?
Well, first of all, I think you're underestimating yourself. I think you could control yourself. You've got a lot of discipline in between your 6 inches there. So I think yes, there is going to be way more temptation there.
Yeah.
But you know, I think I've matured a lot in the last 5 years too, just through the challenges and things that I've had. And my priorities aren't the same they were 10 years ago. Sure. So like, I'm not going to Austin to party. I'm going there to network, to have a good energy and to like to have that luxury of a great lifestyle,
right.
but at, in a proximity.
Right,
so,
right. So that, I think if I was moving there, you like having the option there.
Yeah, like if I was moving there, like if you go to Miami, like what the, I can't think of a lot of reasons to go to Miami except to party.
That's true.
Like Austin is actually like a little mini tech center. There's a Google, Facebook,
right.
like there's a lot of, it, and it's Texas and University of Texas is there. So there's like technology and so there's more, there's a little bit more substance there, I think, in terms of what we're looking for.
Yeah.
But I mean, I'm also living like within a block or two of a lot of great restaurants and pubs and things. So it's just a different style here where I'm at in Seattle. I mean, I got to like get on a bicycle at least 7 or 8 minutes just to get out of the neighborhood that we're in. So time will tell.
Yeah.
But I think I'm pretty self-contained and I can get around. And I'm also, I think, a little less social naturally than you are. I'm a little bit more of an introvert. So I think it's good for me to give myself a bit more of an environment that supports me getting out and mingling.
Right.
Where I think for you, it might be, you might have to dial it down there to kind of like make sure you don't over adjust. So I think it's a good balance for me.
Yeah.
Cause I can get out.
Good. Good. Man, I'm excited to go visit you guys. I'm going January.
Yeah. You coming in January?
Yep.
Man, after seeing that piece on John Oliver about Brazil, I don't know if I should go down to Rio, dude. It said 30% of the citizens had been caught in a crossfire in the last year. 30%.
Yeah. Yeah.
Is that even real?
It is in Rio. That was a specific statistic.
Sao Paulo is the main city, right?
Sao Paulo and Rio are just like...
They're so different?
They're very different, but they're... crime in Rio... Dude, Rio is... The crime is real. Like, it's big there. Very... A lot of gangs, a lot of favelas. Cops are not paid well enough to give a fuck, and they're like, shit, I'm not going to die over the, you know, this... minimum wage I'm getting paid.
Yeah.
It's... Dude, that country's so fucked. I hate to say it. You know, I'm from there, so I could say it. It's just such a fucked country where it's been that corrupt for years, ever since I was a kid, and people know how corrupt it is, but they can't do anything about it. Like, what the fuck are you going to do? Like, when everything... from the top to the bottom is just all corrupt. It's all bought.
It's, like, infiltrated every part
Everything, of it. Everything, dude. Everything. So I talked to my dad about it yesterday. I'm like, man, what's going on with
the president?
Yeah,
the election.
He's like, hey, we're voting for the same party that the old president was, Lula.
That so the new guy, that's the anti-gay guy.
So there's the Brazilian Donald Trump.
Yeah.
And there's the former president of Brazil. His name is Lula.
He's in prison now, isn't
he? He's in prison.
But there's a guy under him?
There's a guy under him that's pretty much representing him.
Okay, okay.
So basically what I got from my dad is this. You got to, like, this Brazilian dude that would, like, the Brazilian Donald Trump that says the most absurd shit. Like, there's video.
He's the one with the finger guns?
Yeah, with the finger guns. And there's a video. That video is funny, huh? There's a video of him, like, this guy is just, like, a savage, dude. He is, there's video of him, like, threatening, like, hey, I'm going to beat the shit out of you to a woman. Like, he's like, hey, you better
I saw that. Like, a senator or something.
Yeah. Like, he does just not like, he's give like, a fuck.
And you're too cute for me to want to rape you or something like
thing.
That?
Here's the thing. In Brazil, that's still kind of common. Like, that, you know, very male. Like, that's still...
I'm a man, so I'm, yeah, like, I'm untouchable.
Yeah, like, exactly. It's a third world country, so that's still very ingrained. It's changing now, right? The new generation is kind of changing that, making that less acceptable. But that guy's still very old school in that sense. My dad told me that the old president who's in jail, he said that was a setup. He believes the majority of the Brazilian population is going for the old president because he did. I mean, the economy in Brazil was really good when he was president. It's the best Brazil has done for years. Now, they're saying that the fact that he's in jail and he's locked up is basically like a setup from the other political party to try to get him out of the game so they could keep it corrupt as it is. So it's just two corrupt sides saying that one side is more corrupt than the other and nobody really knows the fucking truth. But it's just a mess, dude. That country's a mess.
Damn.
And you go over there and you realize, like, Brazil is, like... It's great. A bunch of natural beauty. People are warm. Like, the culture there is amazing. The people are so, like, it's just a warm country. I don't know how to describe it. People value relationships and they value community and friendship and the little things in life. They like to party. They like to drink. A bunch of natural beauty. But in regards to like being an organized, consistent country, not at all. The best feeling is coming home to the U.S. after you've been to Brazil for a week. And you're like, finally, you know. It's just...
Sounds like Turkey, man.
Yeah.
I remember going to Turkey and like the I went there a month ago.
Yeah.
And I was so annoyed at how disorganized shit was.
Yeah.
Just like people don't wait in lines. Yeah. Like there's no lines. You get cut off. Like we were in passport control, like getting into Istanbul, and this woman literally was like running into my bag, and I was like, you know what? Here, go ahead. You can just, you know, she like scoot by me. Literally, just like, you're not gonna get ahead of, you know, get through the process any faster. Just shit like that. Or like, yeah, there's no air conditioning in places. Yeah. Like people are uncomfortable.
Yeah.
It's just like they don't take care of like these public services and have any sort of respect for order.
They don't at all.
And it pisses me off because it's like, dude, like people, they just get sucked into this social norm that this is the way things
absolutely
are.
I know. I was getting stuck when I was down there last time. You start to adapt. That's a scary thing. I became a little bit more rude because you got to, otherwise you get stepped all up, right? So it's like, fuck. Now, you know, and it goes to show, like, you start to understand why maybe a person that's 30% shootings in Brazil, think about if you're fucking born poor in a country like that, where there's no way out, dude. There's no way out. There's no government programs to help you get a job. There's no food stamps. There's no social security. You don't have money, you're not going to eat. You're probably going to die. That's just how it works. So naturally, a person that's born under those circumstances is all they know the system is rigged, that they won't be getting out. Wouldn't you be fucking mad too and be like, fuck this, I'm going to buy a gun and rob some motherfucker so I can, right? So that's how the men, that's how that mindset mentality is built.
But then you go and you sit down, like I sit down with my grandmother and there's all this love, like this infinite amount of love, like, you know, the relationship and like the family is so close and you have your meals and like everyone just sits around and talks for hours and hours.
Same thing in Brazil.
And
man,
you're like,
value that.
I wish I could take that value and bring it into America.
Exactly.
Without all this bullshit,
but
disorder.
I feel like if that came to America, they would get, they would fall into the cycle that's here, right? We're working 50, 60 hours a week. You're just getting after it. You know, how can I grow my business? How can I expand? It's two different worlds, dude. Mm-hmm. It really is. You compare a country like that with a country like the U.S., two different priorities, two completely different worlds. Two completely different worlds. And it's good to have a little bit of both. You know, I think that is the best blend. You come over here, you get after it, you build your business, you do what you got to do, but also travel experience. It's most things in life I've come to find out is usually if you're able to find the balance, which there never is an exact balance, you're always kind of juggling it and readjusting it, right?
Mm-hmm.
But if you kind of tend to find a balance, it's usually where the sweet spot is.
Yeah.
Right? You're not too much on one end, you're not too much on the other end. You sit around and enjoy family too much, guess what? You're not going to have any more food with your meals. You go out and you work too fucking much, guess what? You're going to have all this money and time is going to pass. You're going to be like, shit, I didn't spend any time with my family, right?
Yeah.
So and by the way, for everybody, that sweet spot is different. You got to know yourself, what kind of personality type you are, the kind of person you are, what you need, what your needs are, and how to fulfill that. Because for me, man, I see my family maybe once a year. And I feel like that's enough. You know, I connect with them. I'm fully there when I am there. I catch up. I really cherish the moments. But at this stage in my life, man, I got it. Like, I'm the provider. I'm hungry. I want to go out and get after it. You know, they don't understand, they respect it.
Yeah. So. Good, man. I think we should wrap on that note.
Yep.
So, I think when we do our next recording, we actually now have a phone system with our company where I can just call you and the call gets recorded.
Nice.
So we can continue these at least like once a month or whatever, and we can actually just do a quick call and bang it out and then download it and then rip it that way. So
let's do it. Thank you guys for listening.
Thanks for listening.
Like, comment, share it. We appreciate you guys. Feel free to comment on any topic you want us to cover.
Yeah, thanks guys. Till next time.
Peace.